If you'd open your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 5, it is always a pleasure to come to Maranatha. I have a lot of good friends here, people that I love. I have two of my favorite speakers in our church come every year to our church to speak. One is not here. He goes south in the winter, Dr. Moritz. And I saw Ledgerwood's over here. Now, we've had him in our church many times, but he doesn't preach, usually. Dr. Saxon, back here. My friend, good to see you. I know you have just been at a memorial service. It's good to see you, brother. I want to say this to the faculty here. The thing I like best about Maranatha is the product I have in my church. I have the finest assistant pastor I think you could ever find, despite the fact that Peter Wright is his friend. Tim Kowak has been in our church longer than I have, and a faithful man and a good man. I've been there 22 years, and he has been there. This is his 25th. Our youth pastor, Brian Steinbach, is also a Maranatha grad, and we also have a new young man, Mark Griffin, from Maranatha, graduated last year, teaches in our school. So we have a lot of Maranatha people, and I have a long history. As a young man, when I graduated from George Washington University and came to the church I'm at as just a member, I had the privilege of many times hearing Dr. Cederholm. And Dr. Marriott, I'm going to do my best. Actually, I'm going to take my watch off because I tend to be more like Dr. Cederholm, and you know what I'm talking about in the length of the sermon. Dr. Cederholm was well known for long sermons. Anyhow, Mark chapter 5, if you would. I also want to say thank you to the men who are serving in the ROTC. Our church is a long-term by Great Lakes Naval Base. I'm a Navy man. We have Navy, Army, Air Force, Marines. We do allow Marines in our church, too. We have a long history. So, guys, thank you for your service, our future service. Actually, two of our young people are O2s in the Navy right now, and another one is an O3 in the Army. So, all right, Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, minimally meaning he fell down before him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And and you're going to go back and forth between the he and the they here. Jesus asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Roman legion varied in numbers, 3,000 to 6,000, sometimes was auxiliary also. Goes on to say, and he, the legion, besought Jesus much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine or pigs feeding, and all the devils or demons besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with this host of demons, really, and hath the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it fell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they, the crowd, began to pray him to depart out of the coast, out of their area, their region. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men, or all the people, did marvel. This morning, I'm going to attempt to really either introduce or reintroduce you to a very simple concept. I call it the hardest word in any language. I am not 18, 19, 20, though I teach 16, 17, 18-year-olds every day. But there is a word, and I'm going to share one passage and branch out into about five others, that you're going to find that you must learn to accept. I call it the hardest word in any language. The year was 1992. I received a call from a friend of mine. His name is Jim. I've known Jim for many, many years at that time, and I've known him many more since. I picked up the phone, and he answered. He says, Ralph, after a few moments, he says, I don't think you know this, but John, I'll abbreviate B, has died. I said, What happened? John was older than me in 1992. I was pastoring in the St. Louis area, but he shouldn't have been old enough to die. So I said, Jim, what in the world happened? And he said, I'm not sure of all the details, but I know he was having chest pains, and he just had a heart attack and died. And by the way, he was 2 days over age 50 when he died. Just had a heart attack and was gone. And then Jim said something to me. This is 1992 that I have never forgotten. Jim said to me, and Ralph, John died a bitter man. That's a hard statement to make about somebody you knew and loved. Well, my mind immediately, I agreed with him. I knew that John was bitter. That hurt. It actually hurt because it was so true. I had known John for about 15 years, but I knew he was a bitter man. In the time I had known John, he told us over and over and over, he had exactly two dreams. The first dream, he wanted to be in the ministry, the pastorate, or a missionary. His second dream, he wanted to be married. Those two dreams dominated John's life. So when Jim said he died a bitter man, I knew what Jim was talking about, because John never went into the ministry, but he tried, and he never was married. Actually, he went further than most young people go to get in the ministry. This is a different age, but in the late 1960s, John went through and graduated from Philadelphia School of the Bible, which would in those days have been borderline fundamentalist. He graduated, no church wanted him. He didn't stop there. He thought, well, maybe God wants me to be a missionary. He went to New Tribes Boot Camp, which I think in those days was about a year, I'm not sure. He graduated from the boot camp. No mission board would accept him. Then he tried to get married. I remember he was not real. Brother, I can't tell that joke as well as you could told about this guy carrying you. John was not very sophisticated with women. Back in the dark ages in our church, we had 9 single women. I married one of them. Just so you know, I'm going to publicly declare this. Dr. Saxon, you're my witness. I ran off with a church pianist 39 years ago, just so you know. Almost 39 years. But there were 9 single teachers, and John would call one of the homes, and I'll just say, Susie answered the phone. He'd say, would you like to go out Friday night? If Susie said no, he would say, put Pam on. Yeah, I see. Well, I'm being honest, folks. He was not real sophisticated. I tell you all that story for this reason. John was a godly man. He was a servant. He supported our local church. He served in the local church. But at age 50, John died a bitter man. Why bitter? Because he could never accept the hardest word in any language, which is the word no. The word no. And my friend, we are going to run in to the word no. I'm going to read the text. In Mark chapter 5, verse 18, this man that had been saved and put in his right mind comes to Jesus and asked him and prayed him, the King James says, but it means to request or to ask, that he might be with him. And in verse 19, it says this, howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. And I'm trying to see if we can get this thing going. Is that point number one? Yes, it is. We'll come to Moses in a minute. Americans don't like this concept. American Christians don't like this concept. Yet the Lord does say no to us. Before I go to the notes, I'm not going to ask the question for an answer. But many places I have been, I ask people this question. What is the most recorded story of David's entire life? Most people will say this, David and Goliath, David and Bathsheba. My friend, the most recorded story, recorded, I'm being specific, story of David's life is when God told him no in building the temple. The Lord does say no. I'll come back. I want to speak to the military guys in here because I want to give a little experience a little later that I had with that. When we come to the scripture, we find the Lord says no to many kind of important people. He says no, first of all, to a man by the name of Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, Moses in verse 24 says, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth, furious with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice. Speak no more unto me of this matter. God said no to Moses. As I've already put up here, he also says no to David. In 1 Chronicles 28, David the king stood upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. And he said unto me, Solomon, verse later, verse 6 it says, he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts. Friend, if God says no to Moses and God says no to David, chances are he'll say no to you. Somewhere in your life, and my guess is many places in your life, God will say no to your dreams. My friend, everything in your life is going to revolve around when God says no, what do you do with that no? Do you accept that no, or do you become Ralph, John died a bitter man. God says no, even to the Lord Jesus. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We know this story. The Lord says no to Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, it says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought or begged the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said, never says the word no, but it implies, my grace is sufficient for you. So simply stated, friend, if the Lord will say no to Paul, to Moses, to David, to the Lord Jesus, to this man, he will say no to you. It's the hardest word to accept. Now, most of us aren't little children. You say no to a 2-year-old, you'll know they don't like the word no. You know, a 2-year-old's going to go this. But we're sophisticated. We don't externalize it. We become bitter. Very bitter. The Lord does say no. But we're going to step this up one notch. The Lord says no even to good causes. If you have your Bible open, please, look at verse 18 and 19 again, if you would, with me. 18 and 19 again. It says this, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him, begged him, that he might be with him. Friend, as we look and we wrestle with the idea of no, you don't mind if you're walking and you're about to step off and God says no. But the Lord says no to good causes. What could possibly be wrong with being with Jesus? What could possibly be bad about building a temple? What could possibly be wrong with entering the promised land? You see, if it was something sinful or bad or evil or destructive, we would understand. But to enter the promised land, to build the temple, to escape the agony of the cross, to be thorn free. I have a friend similar age to me. I think he's 2 or 3 years older than me. He just received news that he is diabetic. And this has devastated him. He cannot accept that he's diabetic. Well, I can't accept that I'm not good looking. But it doesn't change reality. I can't accept that I'm not the thinnest guy in this room. When I was young, I always wanted to be good looking. That didn't work. I always wanted to sing well. That didn't work. I come from my whole family's musical. My son is an opera singer. My daughter has an outstanding voice. They're all musical. When we come home together, they're playing the piano and singing. I have no ability in music. Folks, when I play the radio, it's off tune. I have no ability, but I always wanted to sing. I'm hoping in heaven, maybe there's a change. One never knows. Friend, I'm really trying to take you on a journey. The Lord says no. He says no even to good causes. Some of the best things that you could ever desire, the Lord will tell you no. And boy, what you do with that no really is where your life goes good or bad. Well, we will continue. Now we come to the top of the sermon, so to speak. The Lord says no to good causes while seeming to say yes to some not so good causes. And I don't know if, my goodness, we actually have the word there. Dr. Marriott was saying that I read the languages. I do. Though whoever teaches Hebrew here, I was reading a hollow verb last night, and I need to go back and learn more Hebrew because I have no idea. My friend, please look at me. The word parakaleo is nothing special in and of itself. It means to request, to ask in this context, but it's not the first time in Mark this word's found. In this story, look at me, in this story, that word is found three previous times. And the weird thing about it, in those three previous times, to what I would call not so good causes, the Lord says, okay. But when this guy says, I want to be with you, he says, no. So what I want to do is see if we have this here. Well, in verse, and I'll do this quickly, in verse 9, the pigs come to him and say, after he says, what is your name? In verse 10, it says, and he, the legion, the demons, they besought him, same word, much that he would not send them away out of the country. And by the way, he didn't send them away. So this demoniac is thinking, when the demons ask not to be sent away, he did what they asked him. I asked to go with him, and he says, no. Something's wrong here. What happened? You see, our problem isn't just with the no, it's with the yes to other people. Verse 17. See, is it verse 17? Not 17. Verse 11. It says, now there were come nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils, again, same word, besought him. They begged him to do what? To send them into the swine that we may enter into them. In verse 13, it says it like it's no big deal. And forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. Oh my goodness, I'm confused. I can't go with you, but you're not going to send these demons away. And they say, can we go into the pigs? And you say, no problem. My friend, our struggle is when God is allowing other people to do things that don't seem right, but He doesn't allow us to do something good. Something doesn't seem right. Well, we have the last reference in verse 17. And I don't know how this is working. You know, the best laid plans. This was the best laid plans. In verse 17, the people of the city come to Jesus. And it says very clearly, they began to pray, same word, infinitive form, they began to request of him to depart out of their coast. So you have three occasions. The demons look to Jesus and say, don't send us away. And Jesus says, okay, I'm not going to send you away. Then the demons say, can we go into the pigs? And Jesus says, okay, you can go into the pigs. And then the people of the city come and say, will you get out of here? And Jesus leaves. I want to be with you. No. Sunday morning, she sits in this section. I have a large group of folks from Africa. She sits in this section. Her name is Beban. I don't call her that. I have two nicknames for her. I call her because it sounds better. I call her Zeban. I don't speak any of their language. I don't do pidgin from Cameroon. But in Cameroonian, to be stubborn is to be, they call it, this is their language, strong head. So I call her always strong head. Now that's, you have to understand, that's a compliment. Zeban is in her 35 or so. When she was 17 years old, still living in Cameroon, from a very prominent family, her father has a PhD from Purdue in linguistics. Her family, very bright, at age 17 years old, strong head, was told, you have MS. At 17. But in the back of her head, or in her heart, she always thought, yes, I have MS, but I'm going to come to America with my brother, and America has better medicine, and they'll be able to treat me better, and I'll be able to get that MS under control. And in her heart of hearts, she had a dream somewhere in her 30s, after getting this under control, God would allow her to get married and have children. Well, 2 years ago, that dream was removed. She was having lower abdomen problems. She went to the doctor and had to have a complete hysterectomy. My friend, the hardest word in any language is no. But it's not just no. It's when God says no to something good. And especially when He says no to something good, when He's saying yes to things that don't... We have a church with babies. We have lots of babies. Every time a baby comes into our church, we rejoice. We just had a little girl born a few weeks ago, and I look back at Zeba and I'm thinking, wonder what she's feeling. Because God has taken away her. She's going to have MS until she dies. She will never marry. She will never have children. God has told her no. And there's people in our church having babies. They don't have any problems. Friend, the hardest word in any language is no. If God spoke no to Moses, David, the Lord Jesus, this man, and Paul, He will say no to you. Now, I only have about 2 or 3 minutes, so it's going to have to be quick. To my military friends here, I served 6 years in the United States Navy. I come from a long line of military people. For you that know history, the first person I know in my family that fought in the military was 1675 and 1676 in the Prince Philip's War. We've been in the military a long time, in every war I can find. But when I was in the United States Navy, I experienced this personally from an officer. He was passed over and excluded from the United States Navy. He became so bitter and so bile-filled that he decided, when they was in his last 2 months in the Navy, he had 60 young men, I was one of them, that he wrote evaluations for. And he wrote the worst possible evaluations for all 60 guys because he thought, my career's ruined, I'm going to ruin some other careers. You say, what do you do with that? Nothing. As a sailor, you just move on. And the next evaluations are good. But my friend, struggling with the no's of life, you have to learn this word. And you got to get these texts in your heart. Well, we have one last concept. If you look, if you have your Bible open, back to verse 18, please. And I will quickly do this. This is, to me, the resolution. In verse 18... it says that when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil or the demons prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not. But he saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. The fourth concept, friend, is the Lord's no always contains a yes. Look at me. You read the stories on your time. When he told no to Moses, immediately he says, oh, wait a minute. You're not going in the promised land, but you can prepare Joshua. And when he told no to David, immediately said, but you can prepare for the temple, and you can prepare Solomon to build the temple. When he said no to the Lord Jesus, because there's only one way that we're ever going to be reconciled to God, somehow God's wrath towards our sin must be removed. There was no other way, but in the way that God chose, the Lord Jesus could save people from every tribe, tongue, language group, people group. You see, that no always contains a yes. When he said no to this man, unless I'm reading it wrong, he said, you can go home and tell all of your friends how great things the Lord had done for you. And when Jesus, when he said no to Paul, Paul, you're always going to have a thorn. Yes, but my grace is sufficient for you. Friends, in verse 20, I conclude, it says he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him and all men did marvel. Friend, the Lord says no. He says no even to good causes. He says no to good causes while seeming to say yes to some not so good causes. But as a Christian, his no always contains a yes. And I conclude, his no is always better than my yes. His no's always better. But my friend, you and I must come to grips with realizing when God says no, he has a yes. And that yes is going to be so much better than mine. He's going to have a yes there someplace. Look for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful place. It's a privilege to have connections here. It's a privilege that I think 8 of our young people right now are in school here via the preparation for college. I thank you for the faithful people you have brought into my ministry from this place. But I have looked at even Tim Kowak, who was married for many, many years and couldn't have children, had come to the place where they gave up. I've seen the pain of the no. I've also seen the beauty of the yes, because your no is always better than our yes. Help us this morning to hear your word in Christ's name. Amen.